Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening. Yeah. Oh, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Suns fan and Cinderin. Welcome you to We Say Things episode 106, powered by El Gato.
El Gato. Oh, look.
Look at this beautiful Wave 3 microphone that they provided us. You can check out the link in the description of the video / audio to help us out. We really appreciate their support. They have some great products, including the Wave 3 USB microphone that I was able to easily bring to Kiev.
That was really nice. Brought mine too.
Very easy peasy. And as you can tell, we are in Kiev for the Animajor, Cinderin.
Yes.
We've done dual camera, but we're in the same room. This is not a production.
I love that you did it like this. Instead of changing it to an overlay with one, we're just like, this is what we have. We're just going to double.
There's only so much effort that I will put in.
Mirror the left one.
Yeah, that's if I could go back, I would mirror the other one. That's true. I am wearing, of course, the We Say Things shirt.
And I am wearing Team Kvost because garbage. I have not got one of these shirts because they made one.
That's right. Nick, actually, that's not true. Now that I think about it, we did make one that was, or Nikki made one that we threw away.
Oh.
It was defective. Okay. And then this is the second one. So one of two.
That's all good.
Okay. So yeah, we're going to, again, sorry for the late episode. I don't know what our schedule, we're going to try to keep on relative schedule.
But once a week if we can, right?
Yeah. The time zones are going to be a little bit weird. So for the next few weeks, yeah, we'll just let you know when we're doing it. And by that, I mean, we'll tell you literally 10 minutes before because that's what we did
generally
this time.
That's how we do, yeah.
Okay, so let's get started with our patrons as always. Oh, this is small, okay?
Oh, boy.
Thank you to Jai Chapman, the guy in the chair, Mistake Busted Condom Johnson, Lucas Frankel, Commander Donut, Finding My Life's Purpose Stapled to the Underside of Gabe Newell's Ballsack. She sells seashell by Terra Aconum Dragonite on Amazon. Telcantor _ Prime, a memorable blowjob from Jakiro. I hope nobody can hear us in our room here. Neutral Item Whip, now watch me nay nay.
They've heard slacks.
That's true. We have a story about that. Alliance using coach in-game is like Trump pardoning his cronings. Not illegal, but ew. Suns fan, my GF found out about this membership, so now it must end. I'm sad and unhappy. Please read Wizard's First Rule. Bye. Chakar playing against Wyvern on lane. So shitty, his second spell should be called Sphincter Blast.
Ooh.
That's pretty good, actually.
I like that.
The Mega Pope, we obey things and objects have power hour. TI New Zealand. Zan Xavier and Nate Thicko01 Hamscroat supports the Suns. Ugh. And thinks that all the Lakers fans should go suck it. Cough, cough, Pop-Tart. Thank you.
Then we've got Bacon wants to hop on the free advertising train and say everyone should support my work, cams.com. don't do that. If the Lakers beat the Suns on Game 3, Suns fan will dress up as Saitama from One Punch Man next episode. That is correct. We have actually agreed to that.
Yep, Game 3 already happened and the Suns lost. So.
Yep, so you have to be Saitama. There you go. Lick, Shark TM, Novi Panda, Dop, Eating Chosnick makes you happy and healthy. _ Look, Ben Broomhead is very lazy. Changing his nickname every week is a lot of effort. He tries his best-ish. He's been doing that for 4 weeks.
Trying his best-ish. Yeah, pretty bad.
It could be worse. Pitch Black, Wooden Aftertaste, Done Talk, Anonymous, Suns fan and Cinderin's power couple name is Sins fan or Sunderin. I like Sunderin more. It's better.
True.
It's like Terrorblade.
Yep.
So an otorhinolaryngologist is a physician who treats diseases of the ear, nose, throat, face, head, and neck. Niebling.
Mm-hmm.
Niebling is not one of the things it treats, but maybe someone who should get treated by one of those. Ronnie Keel and Perka Dirk needs a new computer, but it's going to take longer than he thought. Love you guys and all the POG players.
Thank you, Perka Dirk. Thank you. Okay. Okay, quick story before we actually get started. This is not on the outline because you reminded me about the room situation. So obviously, if you haven't heard, Cinder and I have both been invited to the Animajor. We're not just vacationing in Ukraine. We will be casting together and, I guess, doing some off-panel stuff as well.
Yeah.
We're in a hotel with a bunch of the other talent. And Lacoste has apparently changed rooms 3 times now. Did you know about
that? I did not know this, no.
So the first time, Lacoste, he had to change rooms because I believe his AC didn't work, his air conditioning.
That's a good thing.
The second time he moved is because he was in between Slacks and Jenkins. So Jenkins would get really loud playing Dota and Slacks even more loud. And not only that, Slacks was doing, like, I forget what the game is called. He's doing like something for some other game at literally 4 a.m. screaming. So Lacoste had to move again, and then I believe his internet has just been garbage, so he may have moved again after that. So, shout out to Lacoste.
Oh, that's so funny.
But yeah, for I barely had any internet issues myself. Everything's been pretty good, so can't complain. Any stories for you before we get started with what's on the outline?
I mean, we were playing some party queue game yesterday on stream, and I think both BSJ and I were streaming, and we went, and Jenkins too, I think. And we went into this useless communication mode where we were like simulating a lot of garbage comms in NA pubs. So all of us were just calling out stuff we were doing that wasn't relevant. Like, I'm using my spell. Farming here. Like, nobody cares, right? But we were getting so loud. And yeah, so, but I'm pretty sure I know now that PSJ is next to me as well because we were just fucking yelling. So I think, I don't know, whoever our neighboring... where in the neighbor rooms might also have a little bit of a cost situation after that game. But we just did it one time, and not at 4 a.m.
Right.
It was in the...
Yeah, we're doing this at a reasonable hour, thankfully. I should also mention that Sindarin and I have been playing ping pong. Table tennis. Yeah, we're relatively even match. But I will say, I believe you are 2-1 advantage against me now.
Am I ahead?
But...
I'm not sure.
Anybody that is on one side of the table has lost every game, because...
That's true.
There's this ping pong table in, like, let's just call it the cafeteria, where we have to get, like, buffet food. And it's just in the middle of the fucking cafeteria. One side is wide open, so you have a lot of space. And the other side, there's a bunch of dips behind you. So part of the goal is to hit it as hard as you can and try to get it inside the bowl. That's an extra point. But whoever's on that side...
That's so COVID unfriendly, the way you're explaining
this. That's true. Let's not make a big deal about this, okay? It's no big deal. But everybody on that side of the table has lost.
That's true.
But the game,
and we haven't
been...
hit it into the dip a single time.
That's
we
correct.
Have not hit
it's
it.
It's actually pretty difficult.
But I'm surprised that they placed it so that it's a possibility that by playing table tennis, you could shoot the ball into
that's.
It.
I'm vaccinated, so I'm okay with that.
Right. But if it happens, we kind of have to just give it to them, right? We have to be like, hey,
oh, yeah, I wouldn't
table
just
tennis
leave
ball
it.
Fell into this. You have to take it away.
Yeah.
Like, basically, like, what are you supposed
please
to
take,
do?
Please take. Please. Can only match
just give it to them with the ball.
Yeah, with the ball.
We don't take the ball out. They're like, hello, would you like this?
Yeah.
You could pretend that you wanted to get the dressing, but that there was a table tennis ball. So it wasn't our ball.
Yeah.
I think that's fine.
Yeah. They speak good English enough that it won't be too big of an issue.
I did lose to Nico Baby, though, and he was playing the bad side.
Is he good?
He won 11-8. He was good.
He played to 11.
Because we played a game, and then we were like, oh, we're too exhausted. We're not going to play anymore. And then he was really convincing. He was like, you know, he kept pawning and he was like, you're a fucking pussy. You know? Right. Not exactly, but he was like, come on, let's just do a game to, I was like, fine, we'll do one game to 11. So we played to 11.
Yeah, he was pretty upset that I didn't play him because, I mean, I was fucking sweating my balls. You had to wear a mask, right? And I'm wearing like these long pajama pants. So just the heat and being morbidly obese, of course, doesn't help.
Doing sports with a mask on is really exhausting, actually.
Okay, actually, so. One more thing to rant about before we officially get started with what's on the outline. Toilets in Europe suck ass.
That's very generalizing, but often true.
So it's okay to generalize. Okay, hotel toilets in Europe are fucking garbage, okay? The toilet bowls are... I know I'm a fat American. Toilet bowls are too small, okay? Like,
Are they not deep enough either? Are they too shallow too?
No, the shallowness is acceptable. It's just everything else is too small. And then the flushing mechanism is so fucking pathetic.
The flushing here is really bad.
Okay, but it's every hotel I've ever been to in Europe has been similar. Like
I think this is the worst of it.
There's these two buttons, right? The small and the big. I'm guessing the big is for the big stuff. Mm-hmm. Small is for the small.
Yes, small is for when you hit a table tennis ball in there.
I will hit the big button 3 different times and I'd wait, you know? Mm-hmm. It still doesn't flush everything. I don't fucking understand.
This is probably the worst flushing I have seen in a bathroom ever, actually. Which is surprising. It's a really good hotel. I don't know why their toilets just don't. Maybe they're like, oh, this is a fine hotel, so the people that come here definitely eat fine foods and
do
their business in an appropriate manner.
They have not had Americans.
And then for sure. Enter Suns fan and the fucking...
I'm not the only one, all right? Okay, let's get started with on the episode. NBA, we can get that out of the way. The Suns are down 2-1 to the Lakers. I have been watching at 5 a.m. It has been fucking miserable. I feel bad whoever's next to me.
Oh, you've been yelling too.
I've been trying to hold back, but yeah, I get pretty angry.
And fascinating that you yell when you're alone in your room watching sports.
I mean, do you yell when you watch Dota?
No.
Are you passionate about anything in life, though?
Yes, but I will not yell if I'm alone in my room. Because I'm...
What does that have to do with people being around? Your emotions don't change.
I think it's something about interacting with other people.
Okay, how about this? When you're watching a movie, do you laugh if you're alone?
Very rarely, but it can happen.
What the... Are you a fucking robot? Yes. What do you mean very rare? If it's funny, you laugh. What does that have to do with somebody else being in the goddamn room?
I kind of never watch a movie alone. I laugh at Twitch streams, though. I do watch those alone. I mean, you're right. I mean, I will laugh, but I'm not like yelling or like...
All
right,
you're reading Twitch chat and laughing like a maniacal beast, which I've seen you do many a time.
Twitch chat can be really
fun. If you're alone, you still laugh or no?
Yes, but I would never yell at sports if I'm alone in my room.
Well, but or you yell don't, at you Dota. Don't watch sports.
Okay, if there was the sickest Dota play ever and I'm watching it alone in my room, I would still not yell. I promise. I guarantee it. If I was part of a crowd or watching together with someone, I would definitely yell.
Okay, you're a robot then. No. Okay, you're a robot.
No,
anyway.
A robot would not yell even if they're in a room with other people.
Okay, so this is going to be an interesting experience for you because Sindarin has promised me tonight... of this recording, the Suns are playing, actually. It actually aligns decently well with my schedule because back home, it's at around noon. It's an early game.
Right.
Here, it's 10 p.m. I believe you're doing something in the early stages, but you might come for the second half. So he will watch the second half of the Suns game with me. And you're going to see me probably rage.
There's a good chance I will leave. I will be here, and if you're being unreasonable, I will leave.
I mean, I don't punch the
wall. But never mind, because I'm a robot, so I don't feel any emotions. That's true. You can yell as much as you want, and I don't care.
It doesn't faze you. I'm glad.
No, there's like literally no way that people listening to this can't. That there aren't at least some people that think of it the same way I do. Like, where you don't like...
Oh, I'm sure there's other robots, yes.
Dude, that's not robotic.
That is quite robotic.
To me, like the whole cheering thing and the aspect of like being emotional or raging or whatever about sports or something...
I can understand
it. It's about the... interplay with other people in the room.
Yeah, I can understand it being amplified, sure, but to not have that emotion.
I have the emotion, I just wouldn't yell it out loud.
I find that weird.
Okay.
You know what, in the YouTube comments...
Somebody in chat said I would never cheer out.
Yes, see, more people are likely to agree with you.
Here comes all the robots. Mr. Destruct Toy.
in the YouTube chat, or the comments, just let us know what you think about that. Okay, and then final thing before we get started with the official news, Position 6 podcast. I'll put this in the link as well. That young man, Dan Offerman.
Dan Offensive.
Dan Offensive, that's right. He interviewed me, and I like his podcast a lot. You guys should go check it out. You've been on it before, I'm assuming. Yes. It's just like this long-form interview, and it's just very casual. I would highly recommend it, so I'll leave the link in the description if you want to check that out. It was good stuff. I really enjoy listening to myself talk. So
you do, actually.
No,
me neither. That's why I don't yell alone in my room, because then I have to listen to myself. So it's better to
just... But I'm watching. I'm listening to something. I'm watching and listening.
So you're saying when you're yelling, you can't hear yourself.
Oh, I can. I get very...
No, it makes sense.
Now, keep in mind, I had to watch Game 2 on the airplane. Game 2 on the fucking airplane. So not only is it a game against the Lakers in the playoffs... which we've already gone over.
I'm picturing you yelling so loud they have to land the plane.
It's buffering as well because it's such shit quality. It's such shit quality that the basketball was like 2 pixels, okay? And I couldn't tell if they made it until I heard the sound of the net.
At least you could watch it. I'm actually surprised you got to watch it on the plane.
The Suns lost, and the woman next to me she got a little startled a couple times when I was like, "Rah!" Like,
she was like visibly uncomfortable.
Yeah, she was pretending to sleep, but you can see like peripheral, you can tell that she was not okay with what's going on.
She was a Suns fan as well.
No, she didn't talk the entire flight to me.
She was too scared to say, please be quiet. She's like, she's gonna fucking punch me.
That's probably true. That's probably true. Okay, it took us 14 minutes, but we finally made it to the beginning
good
of the episode.
Job.
The DPC, I guess we're just going to go over the teams that have officially made it to Jamaica from the playoff seeds, so the top seeds of each respective region. We have Alliance, Aster, T1, VP, Quincy Crew, and No Ping. Do any of these surprise you that, you know?
I think the biggest surprises are probably T1 and No Ping, right?
Yeah, No Ping especially for me.
No Ping is definitely surprising. When you get into the tournament and you get over a couple of rounds, it gets less and less surprising. But if we had to call from the start, I think neither of us would have predicted any of these two to maybe even make the event, not just first place in their region.
That's true. I mean, Thunder Predator didn't even make it.
No.
And they did.
And they were great last year. Exactly. So they've probably taught all their tricks to the other teams now, and it's coming back to bite them.
Yeah. Okay. Group stage. So the lower seeded teams, we got Team Liquid, PSG LGD, TNC Predator, Beast Coast, EG, and Team Spirit. And then for the wild cards, we have Nygma, Secret, Vici, IG, which we can talk about, I guess, just real briefly. Who was it from IG that's not making the tournament now? I didn't actually write it down. Execration and AS Monaco Gambit, which I believe we're casting one of their games. Am I supposed to call them AS Monaco Gambit?
I think you call them Gambit. I'm pretty sure that it's Gambit.
I hope so.
When you cast LGD, do you cast call them PSG LGD?
I know a lot of people that do. Yeah. I just call them the Radiant or the Dire. Just like Nygma, which I have to think very, like, enunciate very carefully. Thankfully, we're not casting any of their games for the first 2 days. So don't have to worry about that shit. So of these teams, do you have any predictions, young man?
For just the stage that they're in? Like who's going to come out of it?
No, let's just say like top four overall.
Top four teams of the tournament.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to say two out of three teams are Chinese, so I guess I have to pick the two that I think get top three.
Mm-hmm.
It could even be all three, honestly. I think... So the thing that's really weird about this, right, is that you have a IG who won the last major wild card, and then you have Aster in the playoff seed and LGD in the middle range, and VG are also wild card, right? So like two insane Chinese teams are in wild card stage. But they could really easily go the whole way from wild cards.
And they can also eliminate each other, though.
That could also happen. It's the same for Secret and Nygma, though, right? They're also in the wild card range. All right, so I'm going to say that the top... Two of the top three will be LGD and... Let's go for a heroic run for Vici Gaming.
Mm-hmm.
So LGD, Vici... Liquid, I think, might actually have a really good tournament this time around. Would be cool. And I'm going to do a dark horse and say Quincy top four.
Okay.
But they don't have MSS, right?
Yes, they do. What do you mean?
Oh, he is there.
That was last major.
Wait, so why is AUI's name still... No, never mind.
AUI...
I mix it up.
I think you just hit the microphone. Apologies.
It's really good quality, so... It probably sounded like a nice tap.
AUI's casting. What do you mean?
No. AUI's nickname is MSS would have won the major.
Yeah, last major.
But he's referring to the last major still.
Okay, I'm going to pick... this is tough. I'm going to say second place will be Quincy Crew.
Oh.
EG will be fourth place. I think the motivation for EG is not, like, they've already made TI. It doesn't matter as much.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a lot of teams kind of peak too early. Not that this is early necessarily, since this is the last big tournament before TI anyway. Second and fourth NA. I believe
that would be the best major ever for the region.
Yep. VP will get first place, and fourth place will be a Chinese team, which I know nothing about, so choose whichever one you want. PSG,
VP
LGD.
To win.
Let's say. Yeah. Dark horse.
I mean, they are very good, but
yeah.
They did not do well last major.
That's right. They're coming back with a vengeance.
All right. That's a fucking bold prediction. Yo, if you get that right, that'll be sick. Do you want to make a bet or something?
No.
Okay.
If I wanted to bet, I would not choose any of those 14.
You want good odds.
Yes. Okay.
Hey, so who do you think is going to be top four? Well, I'm going to give you my top four, which, by the way, I don't think any of them will make it if I had to bet on it. Like, what?
Well, I usually don't bet on anything. So.
Okay, sorry. That was very robotic of me. Just move on.
That's true.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So do you want to talk about anything else before we move on to the patch that came out?
No, I think it's fine. Like, we're obviously... Next episode we're doing here, we can actually talk about how the tournament's going, right?
So right.
I think it's fine. We just go in with some expectations.
Oh, we should quickly talk about the talent that was announced for the tournament.
Sure.
I'm looking at the talent listed here. So for hosts, we have Shiver, Slacks, and Richard Campbell. who I finally got to meet. He's pretty hilarious. And then for analysts slash commentators, we have OD Pixel, You and Me, Cap, Lacoste, Lizard, BSJ, AUI, Jenkins, Tsunami, Fogged, Kyle, T-Governor, and Effie, who is, I guess technically hasn't been talent. I think she was invited to a tournament last year, but she wasn't able to make it for some reason.
Right. She was supposed to be the last We Play, I think. And something happened with visa or COVID regulations or something. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, so we've gotten to hang out with a bunch of these people, including Effie's been great. Hoping that she doesn't get too nervous, because I know she is a bit, but she knows what the fuck she's talking about, so she's not really worried. Yeah.
So
we've been playing One Night Werewolf, so that's always a good icebreaker. You suck at One Night, by the way.
What are you talking about?
you got destroyed last night.
I had a really good win rate. I won like 3 out of 4 games, I think.
So here's the thing. Like, I know when you're lying. It's very easy to tell. Okay. Uh-huh. But people don't believe me some of the time.
Yeah. Because you
do a lot of spin. Because I'm not trustworthy. Yeah. I'm the kind of guy that'll come out and say,
I mean, you're saying you know I'm lying, but I won us 10 or like 2 or 3 games.
Luck.
Okay. I was really lucky to be robotic.
Well, there was one game where...
Hey, if you can tell I'm lying, does that make me more or less robotic?
There's one game where you were Tanner.
Answer the goddamn question.
I'm not answering that. I refuse to answer.
Okay.
You were Tanner.
That makes me less robotic.
And there were 0 werewolves in the game. That is unlucky as fuck. Okay? Just throwing it out there.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on to 7.29D. Wow, this is really zoomed in. Holy shit. Let's get that up there. Okay. So anything in this patch you want to... I mean, a lot of tweaks to items that we were kind of expecting. Vanguard got a nerf, Sange, and everything related to Sange.
Every Sange item got nerfed on Lifesteal and Health Regen. Solar Crest got nerfed a bit again.
Lifestealer pronounces it Sange? Sange or one of those two?
What?
It's
Sange?
Weird. Sange or Sange, yeah. I think it's Sange.
I think every other hero says Sange when they buy it.
Yeah, Lifestealer is weird. It's probably because his mouth is disconnected.
It's probably something like when they did all the voice acting, nobody realized that the voice actor said it wrong. And then it's just in the... Like, seriously, like, what else would it be? There's, like, no reason.
That's what I'm hoping for Abaddon, baby. Yeah. Everybody just pronounced that wrong.
Yep. Truly the dancing queen. Okay, we've got...
Poor Axe.
Yeah, so there isn't, like... I think we can go over this relatively quickly, because most of it is just, like, the heroes that were considered a little bit overtuned. I think the biggest nerfs overall were Broodmother, who had this, like, extremely weird thing that I can only assume was a mistake. Oops, a mistake in the... And on the back end, where for some reason the shard reduced the cooldown on your web charges, and it didn't say anywhere. So I guess that was the original idea for the shard, and then they changed it to something else and forgot to remove the value.
Wasn't that... I'm trying to remember if it was part of the ags before.
The scepter gave you double web charges and more move speed, right?
I feel like it was and part of like a talent or something. It was part of something, and they just got left in there by accident.
That's don't what feels remember. Like. But anyway, yeah, so that's not part of it anymore. And then Insatiable Hunger got mega nerfed, especially level 1. It was such a broken laning
space. Value 70, level?
70% life steal for like, what was it? Was it 8 seconds or something? It was insane. And then the 15 talent going from 15% CDR to then getting the web recharge time is a really big nerf, because you were getting this beforehand for free when you bought the shard, which you wanted anyway. And now you basically lose out on the CDR. And also lost a bit of the spider damage talent on level 20, which is also incredible. So Brood got the biggest nerfs. I think the second biggest ones were probably Bristleback, which I think is deserved. His Aghanim's is pretty fucking bonkers. And then Medusa as well. Losing a little bit on the Scepter stun, but mainly that the level 15 and 20 talents are swapped around. So the mana drain, the mana gain from the snake, which you hit that timing level 15, is now pushed to level 20.
And yeah, usually when they switch a talent from 15 to 20, they'll scale it differently. It's the exact same percentage. So they're like, okay.
That's and the good thing you get instead on 15 now is minus 1.5 Mystic Snake cooldown when it was minus 3 on level 20.
Right.
So overall, you have less snakes to work with as well. So
they also, for toss on Tiny, buying back while being tossed no longer teleports you back to where you died. What was the other hero that had
I wonder if they flip a coin. Like, when something like this happens, this is like the 10th official game that it did something in, right?
Timber Chain as well, the same interaction. So
it still works with Pudge Hook, though.
Yeah, Pudge Hook still works. If you hook them and then they die during, like, after the hook has hit, and then they buy back while the hook is still coming, it still works. So this, the way that I read these patch notes, this was not considered a bug then. It doesn't say fixed. It always says fixed.
True.
This, like, for Centaur the return working on illusions fix this working, right? This, they just said, doesn't... There's no fixed. So it wasn't a bug. It was a feature that they just wanted to remove. And Pudge apparently just needs that extra buff. He needs the extra love.
That's the thing. It's the hero doesn't get played enough in Pro. Literally just for Lota. Not going to happen, so people won't complain. Until it happens. And then it will get fixed.
Well, Arkosh is tier Division 1 now.
That's true. It could happen.
Okay, so that was the 7.29 deep patch, which I think some people were wondering if they were going to do something before the tournament. I was expecting something of this.
I love nerf patches. I know I've talked about this before. I love when heroes get nerfed. I think the game is overall in the last years just getting, heroes are getting too fast, too strong, too crazy. So whenever there's a patch like this where you're just taking the best heroes and making them weaker instead of making the weaker heroes stronger, I like that. I think they should do it more. More nerfs and less buffs.
All right. Ice Frog does watch, so
yeah,
take that into account.
He knows.
Next thing on the list. All right. So there was some, I guess you can call it drama or whatnot. So no ping versus Beast Coast during, I want to say it was like the lower bracket. It was deep in the DPC.
It was the last game of the...
Well, it was game 1 and 3 this happened.
It was the last series.
Where a player named... Wait, was it Matthew? It was Panda, right?
Matthew explained it, and it was Panda who had the thing.
So Panda ends up calling GG and then disconnects in game 1 and 3. And it was at a point, especially in game 3, it was dead even network. Yeah,
that game was not over, was
it? So everybody was like, what the fuck just happened? And they came out with a post a little bit later talking about like mental health stuff where he's struggling with anxiety. And now there's a lot more sympathy, obviously, or empathy. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
For that kind of stuff. Have you ever experienced a teammate going through something like that? Like, I've never experienced that like from a competitive standpoint, but
it sounds pretty intense. I haven't had a teammate have like an anxiety attack and tap out like that, but I've like, if people are having a weak moment or if they're going through a bad time in general, then I think it's easier to give up. So like when games just look bad, you just want to like, can we just call GG, you know, something like that.
Right.
And then obviously you try to pick it back up. The worst example that I can remember of this was what's a good word for this? Like a feeling of hopelessness, probably, at TI2 with MTW when we were playing against CLG. I don't know if you remember this game. Kebab was playing
Venomancer.
He kind of stopped participating in the game. He was just like, this game's over or whatever. And he just went off and played his own stuff while we were playing together. So that's like the biggest...
Okay, not to bash on Kebab. And I've told you, I feel like we've talked about this on...
We might have.
Where he was literally bragging to me. I was in the lounge eating all the Snickers at TI2 because it was fucking great.
It's like, I'm going to go brag to this guy.
He literally came up to me and started bragging about playing with one hand on Venomancer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't even know how to respond. Like, I was very awkward back then, but still, I didn't know how to respond. Like, that's so weird that you would do something at TI. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But
even on the biggest stage and when there's a lot at stake, people are still, you know, still have their flaws, right? So it's about combating that. And I think the most important thing, so obviously this was in that series. If Noping would have won that series, they would have got first seed directly. Because they lost it, they had to play a tiebreaker, but then they won the tiebreaker.
Right.
So in the end, Noping still got that first seed out of the region. So I guess they got their composure back together. And it's probably like going through something like that, where as a team, you have a moment like that and everybody has to kind of adjust and understand and try to support the player and then come back with a win, has got to be like a huge morale boost, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's got to feel really good about that. In a way, it might be better than if they had won directly, because now they had to overcome adversity, right?
Yeah, so no, I agree. And it's good. I mean, not to make light of anything, but it's a good storyline as well. People are more educated about it and hopefully they do well at the major. I'll be rooting for them for sure.
It would be cool if an SA team gets top 8 again, at least, right? Yeah,
for sure.
But I would not place any of them top 4. It could happen.
All right, next thing on the list.
Oh, no, not this.
All right, I think this happened like the day of or day after our last podcast. Yeah, it's
relatively old news.
Mitter Meepo and Seb had some drama. You know what? I'm going to let you explain the situation.
Right.
You know Seb better than me.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
So basically, if you guys follow Twitter in general, there's like 3 Twitter teams in, well, primarily 2 actually, that just play a lot of beef, right, for the fun of the fans, which is Secret and OG, which will, you know, do some trash talking, post memes, make fun of the other team when they lose or something like this. And it rubs some people the wrong way. Some people think it's bad taste, but I think the most important thing when it comes to stuff like this is if you give, you need to be able to take it too, right? So it's no secret that no pun intended, that in OG's games, they've been using voice lines as taunts for like fucking eternity.
Yeah.
They've not been afraid of like being like super confident and saying other teams are bad or how dare they think they can win against us. What was it? What was that famous Seb quote that he's offended that teams think they can beat them, right? Or something right. like that.
Yeah, yeah.
If you say something like that and then you lose, you kind of need to be ready to take the backlash on that. You can't just make statements like that. And then when you lose, you're like, man, these people are so rude or whatever. So the timing of this was basically OG got knocked out and didn't make the major. And then the team's secret Twitter account said thank you to, I don't know if it was Liquid, for taking out the trash. And then there was a meme where OG were put in the dumpster or something like that, right? Yeah. And then Seb was like, what the fuck? Because the guy who runs Team Secret's Twitter, Mitter Meepo, is somebody Seb has supposedly helped in the scene get some, gain some ground and gain some following or get some opportunities or whatever. So maybe he felt a little bit like personally betrayed about that. My take on the whole thing is, like, if you look at how OG's Twitter operates and how Secret's Twitter operates, honestly, I think they're pretty much similar.
Yeah, like, of course.
And you give shit, you gotta take some. Right, so I honestly... Yeah.
So Seb DM'd Mitter Meepo on Twitter, and the famous quote, which has been passed around the interwebs now, that will become a meme for a long time.
Probably.
Have I fucked your girl without knowing you were with her? Or you got another reason to hate my team enough for you to drag down people that are suffering? Or you're simply a human piece of shit? It's situated, like, I feel like...
At least he's being diplomatic. Like, even, it's very easy to understand. It's very straightforward. There isn't much ambiguity here. I think that's it's pretty much to the point, so that's good.
Like, it... All right, how do I talk about this? So Seb and Loda, I look at it in very similar fashions. They can't take criticism very well. They're respected among their peers. They've been very successful in general. And it's just weird that they would have reactions like this. Like, the fact that they're always, like, it feels like at a certain point in your life, if you're continually to have all this drama and all this attention that is negatively towards you based on, like, your reaction to stuff, it feels like you should learn to not do that in the future. But they continually put their foot in their mouths. All, like, it's like a fucking annual tradition, you know? Mm-hmm. Which, I've done that before, and I've learned, and I haven't done it since. You know? Right. So
the thing is,
it's just strange.
I think people, like, fans love polarity, right? They love when teams are, like, overconfident or, like, cocky because it looks really good when they're winning. Like, holy shit, these guys really know what the fuck's going on. They're, like, it can be a good thing to be super confident and be cocky, but it can also be a bad thing when you look like you're the king of the world and you're not, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the way I think about it, is that, like, sometimes it can be a really net positive and sometimes it's a net negative, and you just got to look at, okay, like, you're basically taking a risk in a way, right? From a PR standpoint. When you're like, if you go into a series and you're like, we're going to fucking destroy them. You destroy them. You look like, damn, you really knew what was going on. You lose. You look like a fool. So, you know,
yeah, you should know what you're getting into before you do.
You're kind of signing up for that. When you do make really strong statements, you're going to get stronger backlash. And then people love that because you can be like me and you go into a series and you're like, yeah, I think it's going to be a good game. You know, both teams are great. It's an even match. I hope we win. We're going to do our best. And then everyone's like, boo, dude, everybody fucking says that. Not interesting, right?
Yeah.
Then I'm like, yeah, sorry, I'm a robot. I can't think for myself. So I'm just reading out a script and then everything's fine,
well,
right?
But there's a reason in traditional, like, basketball, where players before their draft, like after their draft, they go to school, like a class, to mm-hmm. teach them how to talk to the media. Because, and that's why you hear a lot of generic answers, because a lot of it is you don't want to have bulletin board material for the other team to get inspiration or extra motivation to beat you. And you
right.
don't look like an idiot, unless you're people like Kyrie Irving that say the fucking earth is flat. Like, you can't help people like that because they're just brain dead.
Maybe so. He doesn't think the earth is flat, but he says it to make the opponents think he's stupid.
How does being... All right, whatever. I'm not going to do this bullshit again. Okay, moving on. We have a new ban in the NA scene this time. Pecado Squad Gaming and Wind and Rain have been banned for life. I'll just read the actual tweet completely here. This is from the NA DPC League, which I'm assuming is from Valve, right?
I would imagine this is a conversation between Valve and BTS, right?
So
BTS was running the NA.
They say, based on an investigation of match fixing in recent lower division matches, teams Wind and Rain and Pecado Squad Gaming have both been disqualified from North America's Dota Pro Circuit Season 2. These teams and their full rosters are banned from competing in the international regional qualifiers and future Valve events. So this is kind of crazy. Like, first of all, Arkosh is Division One. They played and beat both these teams. I don't even know what to say, because there's been some players on these rosters that are claiming that they weren't a part of it.
Right.
And it's like a he said, she said type thing. I don't even know what to think. I don't even know what the evidence is. Like, it's impossible for us to actually analyze it. But obviously something happened with somebody and right. fucking blows. And the fact that it's an NA makes it worse, in my opinion, versus if it was in South America, because there's basically no excuse. Like, NA typically, like,
You mean, like, most of these players can make ends meet?
They can make a living, yes. Right. There's not, like, mm-hmm. unless there's something I don't know about a couple of these players, but generally speaking, NA is going to be an easier place to get by, you know?
But let's look at it from, like, let's think about it from the perspective of you're a player caught in one of these teams that wasn't in on it. Like, let's entertain the idea, but that's mm-hmm. a possibility. How do you clean yourself after that? How do you clear your name?
Well, the fact that it says you're already banned.
The team and every player on them has been banned. And since then, Szabo has made a tweet that he was totally not in on it. He had a firm talk with them. If something was going to happen of that kind, he would blow the whole thing off. So he says he wasn't a part of it. Yeah. Y'all went to Reddit and said, I didn't know this was going on. I would never have been a part of this. He's been like a pro player for, I don't know, 10 years, playing a lot of different teams. Coincidentally, also played in the Rock's Kiss team that Solo did the famous 3-2-2 in, which set the precedent for what you can't do. So, like, it's just, I find it relatively easy to believe that not all five players will be in on something like this.
I agree.
So how do you, as a player in the heat of the moment in that game, do you detect that something shady is going on? And then, like, what do you do? Like, if you realize your teammates are definitely throwing on purpose, do you write in, like, do you pause the game, write in all chat, hey, well, my teammates are throwing to protect yourself? Yeah,
we can bring up the earlier example of Kabaf playing with literally one fucking hand at TI. Mm-hmm. Like, that wasn't considered match fixing, apparently.
Right.
But, I mean, he wasn't being paid to do that. He's just doing that.
To my knowledge, so, there was nothing.
Even if you're a teammate, you're unaware, mm-hmm. like, how do you become aware? Maybe they're just playing like shit. Like, I feel like that's very, it's hard to prove.
Yeah.
And it feels like, again, they could all be guilty. I don't know.
But obviously, that's entirely possible. The thing that's scary is that if you're an up-and-coming player who is, like, really genuinely just wants to go far, and you're giving these opportunities, like, how do you feel safe playing with teammates, right? Like, if this could just happen to anyone and then your chances are just gone for life, like, it's easy to have way less sympathy for the people that choose to do it, right? Like, you got caught, you'd made the choice, you know. We can discuss if it should be a lifetime ban or not. We've talked about that before, but you know the risks, you know the rules, so you can't really be surprised anymore, right?
Yeah.
But for the ones that get pulled into this, like, on the periphery, it just feels, that sounds so shitty. Like, there's a couple of these players that are just genuinely trying, their teammates somehow get involved in some shit they don't know, and they're playing like garbage in the game, but they're writing it off as, okay, they're just playing bad. Because, you know, with some of this fixing, in some cases it can be really obvious, but in other cases, like, people could just, especially in Division 2, right? Like, players will make more mistakes, so it will feel less out of place. See, if somebody makes a dumb move, right?
It's interesting, because I have a very strict, like, my guidelines for, like, I've talked about this. If you're caught smurfing,
mm-hmm.
I think your account should be banned for, like, 6 months immediately. And it's very easy to see. Mm-hmm. And then each time it just goes up by double or whatever. Like, generally, for griefing, stuff like that, feeding down mid, same thing. Delete mm-hmm. your account for 6 fucking months. I'm very strict with that stuff. The problem I have with this, and we've talked about it before, is we're not provided all the evidence. Like, I can go into an Overwatch case and see somebody deleting their items. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, this is how I feel they should be punished. But for this, it's, like, very ambiguous. Like, we don't know anything.
Right.
Like, I find it hard to believe that the entire team would be okay with something like this. Like,
right.
All you need is, like, one or two people to participate for this to be, like, to easily match fix, right? So it...
I don't know, man. It's... I'm trying to think of what the solution is, right? Because if they obviously they do some back checking here, right, with, like, maybe some of the betting sites, or they check how the game played out and they see players make mistakes. But is it necessarily the people, like, how do you can identify that the match is definitely fixed, but you can't necessarily identify exactly who is making the critical mistakes in the game that are on purpose.
So I think,
like, you need to filter that from the other mistakes that are just people making.
Little bit wrong here. I know, like, CSGO has had some major match fixing issues, and like the FBI is involved, right? When they get involved, it becomes a little bit different, right? Because it's not just a subjective thing. Oh, it looks like they're playing bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's you can look at the betting sites to see how the odds have changed. You can see bank account information to see what, like, that's very easy to tell who's fucking match fixing. I don't know if that.
Well, it's easy to tell who's betting.
Right. And that's that's against the rules in general. Is right. The player betting on their own matches anyway.
But what if the players didn't do it? What if the players didn't bet?
Right. But then, if the FBI is involved, let's say the players.
You need
the
to game, go down some links.
They're
going to
get
chain.
The money at some point. Right. Right? So yeah. I don't know if that's this true. Is at this level. Like, mm-hmm. Again, I think just the issue is we just don't have all the information. Yeah. And I tend to just believe the people that say they're innocent, but maybe.
And it really does feel like this has become a lot more rampant in the last few years than it was 8 years ago, because there's more money involved in tournaments and in betting in general. But it's also hard to say how much more of it comes to light because there's more awareness. Like, who knows how much of this has been going on for the last 5 years compared to now. But it's good that it's getting attention so that people are taking it more seriously and trying to combat it. But it's such an unhealthy thing. I really wish it wasn't this much. Like, there's a lot of rumors revolving around China as well, which has been for a while, right?
Yeah, China sounds like it's the most rampant based on what I've heard.
Like, it's just really bad.
Mostly
like,
because there's just way more money in China than anything else.
Yeah.
But, okay, let's move on. Next thing on the list is Eternal Envy, back at it again. I mean, he's like the Loda and the Sebs of the world. Every year there's something.
Sometimes you just get caught up in something.
He posted a twit longer. He was on a team called Black and Yellow, and he's essentially saying that he has 3 of the 5 players, and he wants to take over the roster, essentially, so they can play in TI because there's not open qualifiers or anything like that.
Right.
And then the response from Zero, who is owner of the team, is basically saying that Envy came in, he worked with them for like a week or two, then didn't want to play anymore. And instead, just like basically brainwash everybody else to want to go with him. And
that was a very interesting choice of words.
Brainwashed him very much. I mean, it's one of those things where, and like, I love Envy as like a personality, but he's done this so many freaking times. It's just getting old at this point. And like, Envy's complaining that the rules shouldn't be like that, but mm-hmm. he knows what the rules are before he even joined the team anyway. Right. Right. So, I mean, he's lucky he didn't join Wind and Rain, by the way. That was his original team he was trying out for. He'd be banned for life right now. So. Yeah. What are your thoughts on this? Because to me, it's pretty clear cut that Zero is in the right. I don't know if there's any bias within me. Like, again, I love Envy as a personality and a player, but this feels very one-sided.
As far as the rules go, he's in the right, right? Then we can discuss
Zero.
We can discuss if the rules are good. But as far as the rules go, this isn't ambiguous at all. It's just clear cut. It's Zero has the ownership of the team. He gets to have a team built around that, basically. That's how it works. Now, you could maybe make a clause in the rules that a majority of the team can claim ownership through Valve, for example. So let's say a 5-man team, 3 or 4 players really want to switch the roster, but the guy they want switched out is the leader of the team, mm-hmm. for example. And then they could contact Valve and be like, we want this replaced. And then all 3 or 4, like a team majority, needs to...
Sorry, we're doing this live and I have this on Valorant category, apparently. Get a new audience?
Yeah, so the majority, you could say that the majority of the team needs to contact Valve for approval, and then they could switch, right? So we could discuss if it's fair that one person holds the ownership of the team and that's kind of what you sign up for. Because if you think about how teams work in general in Dota for other tournaments, it's like, if the team is dysfunctional and there's a majority of the team that's clearly like, okay, we need to change this. Like, maybe you have a bad captain or you have a bad dynamic or somebody doesn't fit in, but that person turns out to be the owner of the team. There's nothing you can do for TI, right?
Right.
So do I like the way it works right now? Honestly, no. I don't think one player should be able to have ownership to that degree in the way that it works. But given that is how it works, that's how it is.
No, so I agree that I don't like the way that it works either. It doesn't matter. That's not the point, right? But we can talk briefly about what we would want to change. Like, how would you change it then? Because, like, before the orgs have the, like, whoever makes it, it just seems kind of arbitrary right now.
I guess
first, essentially.
I mean, technically, this is a bit weird, I guess, but... technically, you could do an implementation on the site where people can vote someone off the team. I know this sounds like some sort of reality TV show, but if you think about it, you have 5 people in the team that have, in a way, equal stock in it, right? They all own 1/5 of the prize money by default.
Mm-hmm.
If three people in the DPC system cast a vote to kick a player from the team, that player gets kicked.
So you're thinking like that it should work the way Envy wants it to, where he joins a team and immediately he has the same shares as everybody else.
Well, at the end of the day, it's maybe it should be four people instead of three, right? Then it's a vast majority of the team. Then it's like the whole team in its entirety wants to replace this
player. And then what if they can't come to a consensus?
Then the owner has it, right? Like,
so if the fallback is the person that made it still.
Right. Okay. There has to be some sort of anchor, right? But I feel like you could have a situation where the team owner is a piece of shit. And it turned that out that way. People didn't know. They joined the team. All four of them really want to play with someone else. And the guy can just be like, no, good luck. You're not coming to TI.
Right.
That also feels really unfair. That these four players who discovered that their captain is a dick can't do anything about it.
True.
So you're kind of, either way, you're kind of holding someone hostage. And I think it's better to let the majority choose.
Yeah,
it works both ways. But maybe the majority of three is not big enough. That's possible. And then in this case, let's say Envy only has two extra players that want to stay and do this. Then they would have to convince the fourth guy. And if they can't do that, then, like, do they really deserve to keep the team in that form? It's debatable.
Right? I mean, and then you can make an argument that people having a certain track record, you should look at case-by-case basis where Envy has done this many times.
Right. I mean, it is what it is. Like, if he's playing within the rules, you know, like, you can disagree or agree with the move, but as long as the system allows it, like, you can be a dick but still play within the rules, right? If that's what you think it is, but, yeah. The current format is definitely not ideal for like team longevity going into TI and stuff.
Yep, agreed. Okay, let's move on to non-Dota 2 related activities. Overwatch 2 is changing to a 5v5 game. I told you this.
I didn't know it
was. And you thought Overwatch was 3v3.
No. Okay, let me. No. So I thought Overwatch was 5v5.
Okay.
And that Overwatch 2 was already in beta and was being played in some sort of other versus like 3v3, 4v4, whatever. And then they were changing that to be 5v5 to be consistent with something else. But apparently Overwatch was 6v6, I didn't know. Because when you watch Overwatch, if you watch competitive gameplay, it could literally be 2v2 or 100 versus 100. It's very difficult to tell when you're watching. So the little bit that I watched 2 years ago, I don't remember how many people were in the game, just that there were fucking carts driving around.
So I think part of it, so obviously this comes on the back of the original guy, Eric Kaplan, something Kaplan,
Jeff Kaplan
leaving the team. And obviously he wouldn't agree with this, or else he wouldn't have left the team. And all, I mean, we can speculate to some degree. But yeah, I honestly think this is better for them.
5v5?
You could even lower it if you want, but like, it's just too messy. That's the issue. Like, obviously, you can talk about, like, the balance of the game completely changes all the maps. I don't know how they're doing Overwatch 2. It sounded like when we talked about it, it just seemed like an expansion more than an actual fucking sequel. But it's going to make it a little bit easier to watch with two less people overall. I mean, it was a fucking mess.
Yeah.
So I, without knowing anything else, I think this is better for the game. But it's still going to be garbage, so it doesn't really matter.
All right.
Next thing on the list. We have a rumor, which seems like it's been almost confirmed to be more than a rumor at this point, that Valve, this is the headline, Valve is making a Nintendo Switch-like gaming PC.
And with this gaming PC comes a community manager. Just kidding. Lol. That is not happening. But they're making a new product. They are doing something that is not communication-related.
Right. So there was...
They haven't communicated that they're making it. So technically, it's not even communication.
Well, they did tease it, as they always do. They have. Gabe Newell was doing an interview, I think, in New Zealand or something like that. And somebody asked about how they're going to be in the future working with consoles and whatnot. And he said, you'll know more about our stance on that later in the year. So apparently they're making some... It's codenamed. I don't know if it's actually going to be called Steam Pal.
I hope it's not. I think they should call it the Steam X Series X.
I actually do like Steam Pal. It reminds me of PayPal a bit, but that's okay. Steam Pal seems fine. It's going to be a handheld PC, essentially. Based on the article, it's not going to be Nintendo Switch-like in the fact that you can, you know, take it apart and put it into a TV or whatever.
Right.
I just explained how a Switch worked really poorly. You don't put it into a TV, but you know what I mean.
That's okay. Boomer.
But it's just a handheld, but it's a PC, essentially.
Right. So, okay. Can we just... like we talked a little bit about this before we went live on this podcast. We were discussing if this is a PC or a console. So they're supposedly it's being marketed as a handheld PC.
Right.
To me, that doesn't, like, those two things don't interact. To me, a PC is something that is on a desktop. Either it's a laptop or it's a desktop PC. But if the moment this becomes handheld and you take it with you around, I would define that as a console. So what's the difference? Because both consoles and computers have a computing unit in it, right?
Yeah.
So when was it become a PC from being a console? Consoles have stronger graphics than they've ever had. They can compete with PC in some aspects, at least weaker PCs.
Can you do a Word document on consoles though? Is that the difference?
I mean, I don't know. If you can handheld, like,
yeah,
not.
I mean, it's a good question. I actually don't know.
I would 100% call this a console. It's a handheld gaming device. It's a console to me.
Because console to me. Like, PC stands for personal computer. I mean, you can go off the definition or you can go off of, like, what the standards are. But, like, generally speaking, if you're making a console game, it's going to be exclusive for the most part to that console unless you branch out to make it work with other things. But PC, right. It's just like this general, just works on computers.
I'm seeing in chat, like, someone's saying the
it's going to be
operating system defines a PC versus a console. Is that true?
No, I don't think that's true. I mean, it's Linux-based, and I think a lot of these consoles are probably Linux-based anyway, like some variation
of it.
Yeah. I'm just making that shit up. That's what I think is true.
Okay.
Just to
throw it out there. Believable to me. You're good at Werewolf.
That's right. Good win rate here. But what do you think about this? Because, I mean, it makes sense for them to do this because they have a huge market already for just PC games, and the fact that you can make it a little bit more mobile, they've been doing Steam Link. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of their products that have been coming out, to be fair, have been kind of like beta test failures, even though I've liked some. Like, Steam Link started out as a box.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's turned into just software. And it's cool software because, like, if I'm downstairs in my house, I can play a really graphic-intensive game on my shitty laptop.
Right.
Because it's literally playing on my computer and streaming it to my laptop. Like, the concept is really cool.
It's kind of similar to streamers that have a two PC setup, right? Where there's a streaming computer and
Computer. And then there's Steam Remote Play, which is really cool, which we did a little bit of way back when they first released it. But if you own, like, let's say a random game, I can't remember any of them right now, but some certain games you can share with the rest of your friends. Mm-hmm. Only one of you needs to own them.
Yeah,
and I mean stuff like that makes a lot of sense on a handheld for sure. Now the problem I have. Or not the problem, but they've come out with stuff in the past, like hardware, have all been failures, in my opinion.
So was it
Steam Link is a failure. The Steam controller, I have one, failure. And I don't know if people agree with this. I think Steam or Index is a failure. I think VR, remember when I first did a review, I said it was good.
You're right.
Since then, I have changed, I've done a 180. I think VR is it's a gimmick.
Okay, so is the is it because the product failed or because the technology isn't there yet? Because if they're like the best VR product, then is it a failure of a product or failure of a concept? You know what I mean?
So
the Steam controller, you can call a failure because there's other controllers that are just performing better, right?
True.
They're just more successful for whatever reason.
Well, okay, so I can.
But
that's a good question. I think, like, for the Index, number one, not being it's a little of both. Like, not being wireless is a huge fucking... Like, there's other headsets that have wireless.
Okay.
But everything else about the Index is better. And not the price, but everything, like, in terms of performance.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But then, like, the concept, like, you're talking about, just having something take up your whole fucking face, that just ruins, like, most of the experience for me.
Okay.
Like, I don't think VR is going to be a thing until you can just put on glasses. Like, AR is more promising to me. Like, if I want to play a board game or something, like, AR sounds amazing. You just, like, play chess.
Right.
Right? With just the glasses on. So that sounds way cooler to me. But, and...
Is it more limited in, like, its potential, though? Like, what, how to say? Just what you can make in AR versus VR.
Yeah, it's more limited for sure, I think.
So.
I mean, they do two different things, essentially. You can't really do the same thing on either of them. But, like, VR right now, it's just, like, this huge fucking thing on your head. You get sweaty. Part of it is, like, there's only, like, a couple good games. Like, Beat Saber's really good. And then Alex, which I couldn't play because I got nauseous. So there's just a lot of limiting factors for VR. But, like, they don't have a good tracker with hardware so far.
Right.
But maybe they learn from their mistakes. Like, this does sound like a cool product.
Wasn't there also a Steam PC at some point?
I don't know. I can't remember one. I thought
there was a Steam PC as well, but I think it never really blew up. Or am I making this up? It's
either way. Do you think that this could be something that becomes big, or is it one of those like you get it out and maybe it does okay, and then you can expand upon it later, and then eventually it'd be big?
I mean, I guess one advantage. So let's say we compare it to the Switch. I guess that's the closest comparison we can make right now, right? It's like it sounds like it's a handheld gaming device, and right now the big one is the Switch. It's the biggest one, I think, on the market.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you have the flexibility of the Switch is huge, though.
Yeah, which this might have too, right? It doesn't say. It's a handheld computer. You can probably link it to another computer.
I was reading another article where it specifically said it would not have something
like that. Oh, it could not connect.
But No, sorry, that it wouldn't like physically disconnect. But maybe, like, I'm assuming, like, with Steam Index, or not Index, Steam Link.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming it can.
You could Steam Link it to your.
Yeah, I would be beyond shocked if they don't have
that. That would just be really weird when you've made all of that.
So you'd be able to play, like, you won't, like, even if it's a shitty graphics card in there, which I doubt, you could just play, like, literally Counter-Strike on your PC streaming. Like,
right.
It's a fucking handheld, so you don't want to do that anyway, but still.
Well, we could talk about what it has against the Switch and what it doesn't have, right? So the thing that is always going to be a limiting factor for everyone that tries to challenge Nintendo is that they don't have the IP, right? And in console games, Nintendo's IPs are just incredibly powerful. The Mario series, especially, is just, you know, a big winner. Smash, all of these, like, games and characters that they have. But I think Steam's library that they have in just Steam in general, there is a shitload of games that they could own that Nintendo does not have access to.
Oh, so yeah.
If a lot of these games that are on Steam that are successful can run reliably on this mobile handheld device and be played, I think this could get big because just of the flat-out insane amounts of games you have access to.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you play, like on the Switch, there's a lot of games too, right? Because a lot of indie developers, you know, pump games into that you can buy for like $5 or whatever. But the library has to be like a fraction of Steam anyway. Like Steam's library is insanely big, so... and maybe Valve could explore an option where they buy exclusivity. So games right now that are getting on Steam and the Switch, Valve can start making Steam only.
The crazy thing about this, because they have
that market share.
Then. The crazy thing about, so I think my opinion is that this is going to, I don't know if it's going to be huge, but I think it's a very good idea. And it's going to be successful. And not just for those reasons, but remember we talked about the console wars, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have Switch, obviously, they're kind of in their own world. And then you have PS5. Is it 4 or 5 now? Fuck. It's 5, I think. PS5 versus the Xbox Sex, which are competing.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the Microsoft Xbox games will be on PC.
Right.
You can play, I imagine, like, why wouldn't you be able to play those on this? Like,
true.
That is fucking huge. Like, when Fable comes out, I'll probably get it for this because it's more comfortable on the controller anyway. So that sounds amazing if that's possible. But like, let's say it's not possible to do that for like having Steam Link to me, that's like a 99.999% chance it's going to be part of this.
Right? It wouldn't make any sense. So weird not to have it.
If you didn't have that, then this is pretty shit, honestly, in my opinion. Like,
okay.
I think streaming like your PC stuff to your handheld is a huge draw. Maybe it's just me, maybe I'm in the minority, but that's a really cool feature.
I would guess the majority of people that buy this kind of product use it as it is and don't link it.
That's probably true.
But that also means that the strength of the hardware is pretty important, right? Can this handheld device play AAA titles from the Steam store? Or is it like limited? Can it play literally every game on Steam? Then it's pretty sick, right? If it's strong enough as a handheld console to play some of Steam's biggest games, then like I would imagine, you know, something like Dota you wouldn't play. Because, like, who the fuck plays Dota handheld, right?
That would be fun to try.
There's a lot of other games that you could maybe play on this. I guess, what are the two games on Steam with the biggest player bases? That's probably Dota 2 PUBG. And CSGO, right?
Isn't PUBG up there?
Is it still up there? PUBG is being played handheld, though.
Yeah, it's on mobile. It runs better on mobile anyway. So. Fucking garbage game. Maybe
that's what inspired them. But, yeah. I think...
I have high hopes for this. This sounds really cool.
If they implement it and it's strong enough and it can play the whole Steam library, this sounds like something I would buy.
Yeah.
Because it's just really nice when you're, like, sitting on the couch or going somewhere or you just play your games that you would usually play, where you're usually, like, confined to, oh, I have to get my laptop, I have to charge it, I have to plug it in, I have to have a place to be where I can have it.
Right.
And this is just...
Now...
That's a big part of the appeal for the Switch anyway. But now you're just...
I don't think they're, like, again, we don't know enough about this, but there's probably no way to integrate it with the Index VR. Because the requirements for that PC to be like to not make you nauseous are pretty fucking high. Like I had a I think I bought a 2060 RTX GPU and it wasn't good enough. Like, it was good enough to play, but it would make me nauseous, not smooth. So I had to get a 2070 just for it to be good enough.
Right.
That's pretty fucking high requirements, right, in my opinion.
That is a relatively small market segment that even runs it, right?
Yeah. So it's probably not going to be any integration with that. But still, I think it's a really cool idea.
I like it.
And we'll have to wait and
see. I think out of all of the things Valve has announced in terms of hardware recently, this is probably the one that's the most exciting. Apart from VR, but that was always a big gamble. Like, how big that would be now.
Yeah, and who knows, like, VR in like maybe 5, 10 years, maybe it becomes something. But I think in the current form with this huge headset, I just can't see it ever being like a mainstream thing. But this is reportedly coming out, I believe, this year, like late this year. So we're not that far away.
That's so we both think this is going to be a bigger hit than the Steam Controller and then Steam Link.
Oh, right? Easily.
For sure.
Easily. Yeah. Easily.
Yeah. I think so
too. Although I will say Steam Link is severely underrated. Very cool software.
I mean, it might just, there's a lot of things like this, right? Where the software is really fucking good and the functionality is awesome. You're just a minority.
Well, they also don't market it. Right. They don't advertise shit, so.
That is, I guess, true.
I can't wait to see what their marketing plan is. This feels like if you're coming out with a handheld PC, you're going to market this shit, right?
There's like
that's
no
a
way
mainstream thing.
No way.
I'm very excited to see some Steam Pal advertisements.
This picture in my mind right now that Valve hasn't done advertising, so their ads are going to be like 80s because they have like no idea what they're doing.
Very out of date. Just like, they probably just hired a marketing company recently and are probably going through all that shit now.
It was like, how did they're just thinking back to how they grew up with ads because they haven't interacted with it at all. It's like, oh yeah, we need to reach out to the television channel.
You know, if they make like Mentos type commercials, that's the creme de la creme right there. Make it cheesy and good. Okay. Final thing? Yeah.
Yes.
Final thing on the list. Fortnite has some news. We've talked about, what was it that we talked about last time that they integrated and we thought it was cool? Smite. Smite integrated like a universe.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember this. What was the universe that they took? So somebody in the chat will remind us. But
it was some sort of anime, right? Or was
it was Avatar. Yeah. Right. Last Airbender.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the implications of that and what Dota could potentially do. So Fortnite, they've come out with NBA jerseys. I don't play Fortnite at all. I'm obviously not going to buy it. But it's all of them. You can buy a Suns jersey, for God's sake. And then they recently also... that's the wrong link. They also announced that there will be some sort of partnership with... So there's a book that I've been talking about that I like, called Stormlight Archives, made by Brandon Sanderson. He's actually more famous for another series called Mistborn, which I also read, which I thought was okay. But they're apparently going to be doing some sort of crossover with that series, which is fucking cool. There's like very little information on what that actually is.
So now the question is, how do you connect Fortnite, NBA, and Mistborn into one?
Yeah.
Or is this like a seasonal thing? Like, let's say the NBA thing is a seasonal thing, and then at some point those skins like are disabled for a while or whatever. So it's like a limited time purchase. But I'm trying to imagine a game universe where there's like the regular skins, NBA, and some sort of fantasy world from Mistborn in the game.
I mean, they got it all.
And Fortnite, that's one thing that Fortnite kind of has going for it, I think, with this cartoony style, is that there's just a lot of shit you can get away with. Because the game is just so obviously designed just being like,
League has the axe that's the axe equivalent, whoever that is, that has the basketball, right? They're dunking.
Darius can dunk. Does he have that? Maybe he does.
Yeah, he has some basketball reference thing. But
it's like, there's plenty of...
I mean, obviously the Mistborn thing is cool because I read the series, but the basketball thing is bigger. Like, this is a huge fucking industry. Huge.
So what's the appeal? Do you buy a jersey in the game and then the team gets a cut, and Fortnite gets the...
I would imagine. I would imagine.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that is a major deal.
Why did you go with basketball, though? If you could have any... Like, I'm just trying to think. You
do soccer.
Let's say you do market analysis, right? And you're like, our player segment, what sports do they watch? There's no way basketball is the number one overlap. Your market segment is... For the most part,
what is the biggest country? What are they,
12 to 20, probably most players are in that range, right? It's mainly young players. What sports do they watch and what countries are they from? So NBA is not strictly American, but
it's mostly
like the vast majority of viewers are American. So they obviously have buying power and a lot of disposable income. But you would have like that competing with World Sports instead. So maybe they just couldn't land deals and they tried for something else. Like, well, maybe it was simple to organize except one league, right?
There's no way that it's mutually I don't see why they wouldn't be able to do NFL as well.
Right, that's also NA then, right? That's my point. Like, you're taking American sports specifically, but maybe the reason they're doing that is that negotiating a deal with one league is a lot easier than, let's say, you wanted to do soccer, because then you have, like, all sorts of different countries with different regulations and laws and blah, blah, blah.
Something else I'll say, that does make sense, but also the NBA are much more on the forefront, especially with the new commissioner that they got, like, 10 years ago. He's been, like, he's very left-wing. He's very open to new things, like, with... For example, the play-in stuff that we talked about, they've never done anything like that before. They're going to have, he's trying to impose a new like mini tournament in the middle of the season, which is really weird, but he's up for like this new age shit. So
up creative ideas.
Yeah. So the fact that you have somebody that isn't like a stick in the mud probably has something to do with it as well.
It's an interesting choice though. Like obviously none of us is really finds this very appealing, but there's got to be like a,
I mean, if I played Fortnite,
good American market.
If I played Fortnite,
you would buy
100%. I buy a Suns jersey. Right. No question.
Yeah,
no question.
So everybody who plays this game and is into basketball, if the pricing is reasonable, you sell at least one unit per, right?
Yeah.
So,
this is coming from somebody that will not buy a jersey. Like, I don't buy jerseys. Like, so many NBA fans will buy these jerseys that are $150. When do you wear a jersey? Like, you go to the game and you wear a jersey. Sure, that's it. Like, you're not going to play basketball in a jersey. You're not going to, like, people walk around in the jersey. I find that very trashy, personally.
But I have an NFL jersey. Have I told you?
I mean, NFL jerseys are better than NBA, though. NBA are, like, the sleeveless.
I mean, sure. It looks weird. But you're very right. Like, I bought this jersey. I've worn it, like, once or twice.
Yeah,
we were watching games at home.
They're a complete waste of money. But the NFL jerseys are better because they have sleeves, I will say. Okay, let's finish up with one Patreon mailbag question.
Actually, right, we have that. Yeah, this is good.
Okay, so you can explain
right.
this.
So last episode we were talking about, we got this mailbag question with, if you had to do a best of three against the world in anything where you needed to win two games, so we could pick any category. We're like, you need to beat as many people as possible and you choose what the three categories are. And we gave our answers. And I was talking about how one of the things I would pick was face recognition. And you said you were god-awful at recognizing faces.
Right.
So my girlfriend is very, very bad at recognizing faces, like really bad. And she found out that you can test for, there's like a test that she ran, and it tests for something called prosopagnosia, where basically if you can have a condition where in the most extreme cases, you don't even recognize your own family. It's not like Alzheimer's where you forget, you just... Like, you function normally, you just can't recognize faces for whatever reason. So you, like, lean to alternative measures, like remembering them by their hair or by their, like, other features, like if they have glasses or, like, whatever it is, but not the face specifically. So she leans a lot toward that to remember what people look like, which I find really interesting. Because she didn't know this was something she had until recently.
How bad is her face blindness, then? Like, if she saw me...
Yeah, she'll recognize you, because she's seen you enough times.
Okay,
but if she went to this event... And she sat with a talent and met 8 of them for the first time. The next day, she would recognize none of them. She would need to meet them more times and have conversations and like build some sort of relation before she would recognize them. So we talked about this because I thought this was something I was really strong in. You thought you were terrible. So I had you take the test that she did. And basically, the way the test works is that it shows you a range of faces. And then it obscures them more and more and more over time. And you need to try to detect... which face is right. So my expectation was, based on what you said, that you would get a terrible score at this. Not necessarily to her level, because she's actually in the range that is prosopagnosia. Not extreme level, but she's like a mild to average case of it.
Yeah.
So I thought you would get a score like that. And the scoring range, you can get scores, what is it, the minimum score is? I think the minimum score is 1, which is you get literally everything wrong. That's completely crazy.
Like, yeah, that's almost impossible.
And the perfect
by chance,
score,
you'll get more than that.
And the perfect score is 72, where you recognize everything, which is extremely hard.
Okay.
So I did this test, and I believe my score was 68. And you did the test, and your score is fucking 67. So you definitely don't have the condition. You can definitely recognize faces, so that is
okay,
not
well,
your
here's
problem.
Here's the thing. Okay, I think I understand why. It's a lazy factor, okay? So I'm taking this test and I'm trying to remember their faces. But if I'm sitting down with something, I'm not trying to remember anything specific. I think I have to focus. Like, if I focus on somebody's face, I can remember it.
Right.
But I, for some reason, I just don't do that by default. I don't know why. So I was beyond shocked. It says I got 93% correct.
Yeah,
so
that's a really good score.
Yeah.
I showed this to, I had my brother and my mom try this. I think my mom got 70. So she got an even higher score than me. She's also very good with faces. And I think my brother's was like 60 or 59 or whatever, which is also in the normal range, right? So, which makes sense because in our family, we like recognize people pretty normally. Mm. But the reason that the way you said that is actually really interesting because that is how I have it with navigation, actually. If I focus on where I'm going, I can lay out and remember where paths are. But growing up, I have not had a driver's license. We never like... we lived in a pretty small area where things were close to each other. So it's pretty easy to map out. Mm-hmm. And whenever we would go to the city, we would take a bus. So I wouldn't have to like navigate or just, you know, you just get from A to B. So every time I would go somewhere, I wouldn't really put in effort to navigating and finding where places are. So now passively, if I don't actively try when I'm walking with a group of people or like, let's go to this restaurant or whatever. If I don't like consciously make the decision of I need to remember where we're walking, I can't find my way back. Mm. Even if it's a 5-minute walk, I wouldn't be sure where we had gone. But if I try, I can do it. So it's kind of like yours with faces. Where it's like, it's interesting. It's interesting that you have to make a conscious effort. Because I bet with navigation, it's the same thing for you, right? With navigation, you don't need to try, probably. You're just like, I have a good feeling for where we went. I can find my way back. If I drive or take a bus or whatever, and then you show me a map, I have no idea where we drove. I just know where I got
it to. Might have. I mean, I do drive a decent amount, so that's probably why. But yeah, that's true. Okay. Very cool. We'll link the test in the YouTube video.
Yeah.
So check out the link. It's a cool
test. It takes like 15 minutes. Maybe you guys find it interesting. I think it's a really interesting test, actually. And very well done.
Yeah. Just don't be distracted. All right?
It's important that you... Yeah. It says in the start what you need to. Just follow the instructions on the back of the manual.
Yeah. Well, that's always easier said than done. okay. That brings us to the end of episode 106. Again, powered by our friends at Elgato. Thank you.
Meow.
Subscribe.
And I don't know when our next episode, what is today even? Like I'm losing track
Sunday,
of days.
Sunday the 3rd.
So are we still doing it on Thursday? I mean, that sounds fine, probably.
It will be someday next week, Thursday the earliest.
Yeah, so for the next few weeks, it's going to be not normal-ish schedule. It'll be around the same time, or same day, but we don't know what time.
Yeah, because we will have to cast series, and then we're obviously not available for this. We also need to rest, right? Because if we have the late series, maybe we don't want to get up and do the early time slot because we need to have energy for the rest of the day. For
and I'm waking up at 5 a.m. to watch some games.
Yeah, and so you're also fucking yourself. So.
Degeneracy.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks we'll for watching, everybody. Until next time, I guess I got to turn on the intro sound this time.
Okay.
Until next time, goodbye.
Subscribe.
Wait, fine. There we go.
Subscribe.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening.